Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.
Yes, indeed, it is Friday Night Racing on a Friday afternoon. Don't knock the concept until you've tried it. If you're listening to this on the radio, then you missed all the visuals this afternoon when we were streaming live on youtube.com/offtheball. You should hit subscribe on that, by the way, if you haven't already. We're also on Facebook in the afternoons and YouTube and Twitter in the afternoons as well. With us this week, as ever, we've got Johnny Ward, but our special guest is Kate Harrington. Kate, how are you?
Very well, thank
Johnny,
you.
Johnny, you barely see him there in his camouflage jersey.
I'd argue we're both special, really, you know.
Okay.
In many, many ways.
And did you get your tickets, Johnny?
I want to make an appeal, you know. I want more tickets. I only have two at the moment. I'm trying to look after it. The Ward family is obviously a big family, befitting the name, you know. So I'm looking for more tickets.
That's not how a request goes. You plead the poor mouth. And you go, I've got no tickets.
I'm honest to a fault. I have, I procured two Laura Hogan today, so I'm delighted with that. Just choosing, like, it's kind of like choosing your best man now. Who am I going to bring? Like, Kate, you could come.
I'll be in Deauville.
You'll be in Deauville with I'm So Fancy.
Yeah, I'm So Fancy in Deauville. You should have had Mark Enright in here this week. He would have had his Limerick jersey on.
We had him
a week early.
And we completely forgot to ask him if he had tickets. He doesn't have tickets, or didn't.
He doesn't have tickets. He is looking for tickets.
Yeah.
So anyone out there?
Yeah.
I think Mark will be looked after, surely.
A much better cause than you, who already have two, Johnny.
Yeah. You could bring Mark, Johnny.
Yeah. We'd have good crack, actually, the two of us.
Across the barricade style.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of Limerick mates going to the game with us, and it's going to be some crack. And funnily enough, just because Galway won it last year, I won't be quite as gutted if they don't win it.
No, you're going to be a good loser this time.
I'll be, yeah. Thanks, sir.
Kate, it's not obviously your first and most recent trip to Deauville, so let's talk about the superstar that you have on your books at the moment, Alpha Centauri, doing unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, she sure is. Like, if you kind of look back to Leopardstown at the start of the year when she ran in the Guineas trial and it was on heavy ground and she ran disappointingly, but Colm came back in after that day and said, no, that was spot on. Like, the ground was too heavy. If you actually look back on it, she nearly got put out through a doll by Ryan on the wide outside. I think they were nearly over at the chase course, trying to get a bit nicer ground. But she did a lovely bit of work that Mum decided then not to run her between then and the Guineas. And she did a fantastic bit of work at Leopardstown one day after racing. And we knew she was on track. And
can I ask you about that, right? What does that mean, a fantastic bit of work?
Mum decided not, there was a race for her that day, it was another trial at Leopardstown, and Mum decided not to run her, that she just wanted to have her own pacemaker. There was four horses in the bit of work, we had two pacemakers, and another horse called Landshark was in the bit of work, and Colm rode her, and she just came around the home bend at Leopardstown and just took off, and we knew that Alpha Centauri that we knew at the middle of last season was back.
And so it's unbelievably tactical to like try and get a horse back into form and make sure that you don't run the race, because if you run the race and things don't go well, then you don't have a clear
view.
Yeah,
exactly. And like it's a testament to my mum and Colm and the team at home that we had her spot on that day. And do you know, she's a very, very easy filly. Well, touch wood, we've got the rest of the season to go, but she's a very straightforward filly to deal with at home. Like, she takes her work well. Like, when she came back, she was lucky enough, she flew over and back to Deauville at the weekend. And she, on Sunday evening, she was home by 10 o'clock. By the time she got into her stable, and we were just trying to get the bandages off before we gave her feed, and she was actually going to, I think, knock the door down or kill someone because she didn't have her feed. And that just shows her constitution. She'd been on a long trip over and back, run a massive race, and all she wanted to do was get her head in the feed pot.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And she's big. She's a lot to feed.
Yeah, you were saying that you were impressed by the size.
Yeah, because I was actually at Nace when she made her debut, and I remember Jessica was saying that she had to send her waist figure back three times because she couldn't believe it. It was just completely illogical for a two-year-old filly. It was more akin to what a jumper would. And this was a two-year-old filly.
As a yearling when she came in.
Yeah.
She wasn't even two, she was a yearling.
I didn't even know that, yeah.
Yeah, she was December time when she came in.
And everyone was kind of there. It was the first day of Nace, and it was a strange race card because it was the Curra meeting, but it was at Nace because the Curra was being done up at that stage. And it was a novelty feeling about it. And it was just like, there could be something quite special here, because she was so big, she just had to train on. There was no way she couldn't train on. And that's why then at the start of the year, when she'd run disappointingly in the trial and disappointingly in the back end trial, you were like, this is an affront to logic if she doesn't train on. And I remember she was 33-1 the morning of the Guineas, and people had written her off that she obviously hadn't trained on. And I remember texting Kate, and she's like, she's absolutely bombing. Like, and it's just impossible to think one of the best fillies we've ever seen was 33-1 for the Irish Guineas the Friday of the race. If she ran it now, she'd be about fives on.
When do you know she's special? Like, is it after she wins that race? You kind of, because you know.
I think we knew she was special the first day she went to the Curragh.
Right.
And I'll put it into context. We were, I think there was about 10 two-year-olds went over, and there was all jockeys on every, all of them and whatever. And I had nominated myself for Alpha, because Alpha was bomb-proof. Like, that's, I think, what makes her so good is she was the bus. And I remember we were going down across the very open space of the Curragh. This is kind of, I'd say, beginning of March time. I think it was a week before Cheltenham. And early March, and we're massive open spaces, two-year-olds going every which way. And I think Shane Foley turned around to me and goes, Kate, what three-year-old is that? That is huge. And I go, turn around to him and go, no, this is a two-year-old. He goes, God, it must be no good. It is going down here like an old hunter. And like, she was just leading them away. And I'd be a bit heavier than the flat jockeys, and I rode her. I think Shane was definitely in my group, and I think Connor Hoban.
So this is just like a training run?
Yeah. So they broke up into two groups of five, I think. And I remember I was leading along an Alpha, and I got to the furlong pole, and I just let her quicken up slightly. But I left them for dead.
Right.
And I think that day I was kind of down over the top of Walsh's Hill, if anyone knows the Curragh, before I got her pulled up. And Mum actually had to drive up in the car. She thought something had happened or I fell off, because everyone else had pulled up, but I was nowhere to be seen. So I came back up and said, yeah, she's good. And I think Mum said, she's more than good. Mum always said from that day she knew there was something serious.
And so when the trials don't go well, like, it's just, you just think, you don't doubt the fact that you thought the horse was amazing, you're just thinking, okay, we need to plot this differently.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe because she was so big as a two-year-old, like, she won in Nace and then she came back and won again the listed race, and then went to Ascot and just got touched off by a different league, by a neck. And then she had the summer off, and maybe... And she came back and then ran disappointingly on heavy ground, wasn't it, the Moy Glare. And you have to kind of think maybe it was just, she possibly had gone a bit weak at that time. I remember her going to Ascot last year and she suddenly had gone very up behind, like she was growing big time at that. And even maybe at the start of the year, she was still up a bit behind. And she, just before the Guineas, she suddenly had stopped her growing and had levelled off.
How would that be in terms of just a horse is in the middle of growth, like as a two-year-old and you're running at a Royal Ascot?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to take your chances. Like, when they're there and they're working well, you have to go with it.
But you have this kind of awareness that there might be just...
There might be. They might go a bit shelly, and they might just run a slightly below par. But
when you say up behind, what do you mean?
Like, so she's grown, horses generally, when they grow, they'll grow behind first and then they'll
catch up
in front, and they've a term like they'll be round at their withers because their wither hasn't come up to level off with their back end.
And those horses obviously are not going to run as fast as they will when they're finished.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they won't. But some of them still do. Some of them still do, and some of them it won't affect them. So you just got to take your chance.
Yeah.
And I think, like, with her now, she has levelled off. And I think they were on Twitter last week. ITM took a lot of photos of her before, and she'd had four runs this year already. And she's still looks like a bull. Like, she looks really, really well. And she's only starting to fill her frame.
Okay, so we haven't seen the best yet.
Well,
and
no.
She's training on at four.
Yes,
by the looks of
she
it.
Is. Yeah, Mum said that at the launch of Irish Champions Weekend on Monday, that it looks like she will stay in training, all being well, for next year. Which
that's pretty amazing.
Great.
Yeah. Really, really. And like, do you feel pressure? I was asking this outside and you say no, and that's obviously, of course, but do you feel a bit of pressure when you have a horse this amazing and the whole world is like, ooh?
you you do. Like, there is kind of, oh, there's Alpha today. Is she okay? Make sure everything's, like, it's quite funny. We have this one-eyed horse at home at the moment, and I always try and make sure she's not out, because he can suddenly, sometimes he takes off across the arena and just goes through horses. So I always make sure, I try and make sure Alpha's not out when he's out. But no, yeah, you have to treat, like, we've 150 horses in the yard, and if you started mollycoddling one or two, like, you can't do that. You have to treat them all the same.
Yeah, yeah. And ultimately, the thing that made her great was you treating her the way you've always treated her, so you're not going to change now that she's starting to win races.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Just to go back to Deauville, there was some talk in the build-up to the race that there'd been a little bit of rain and that the ground might not have been perfect. It was all immaterial in the end.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like, I actually didn't go to Deauville last weekend. I stayed at the Curra, because we had two runners there. And I was in the middle of the parade ring watching it. I don't know if you were watching it at the races, and Matt Chapman was going on, and Jessica Harrington swore she'd never run Alpha Centauri on this type of ground ever again. And I was going, oh, it's not that bad, it's not that bad, Bubba and Eamon tell me it's not that bad. But if Matt Chapman had been in the same country as me, I think I would have gone for him.
Kate, that would have been fun now. Yeah, and a lot of people would have backed you.
Yeah,
we're starting to beef on Friday Night Racing. I didn't realise we were going to.
Well, Matt is a great character on TV, but he obviously has a bit of a Marmite quality about him as well, you know.
Yeah, he's great.
Great for racing, I think.
And I think he would appreciate me getting on to him about what he was saying before the race.
Yeah. How ground reliant is she, do you think?
I think now that she's filled her frame and strengthened up, I don't think she's that ground reliant. But
say it's yielding in the matron at Leverstone.
Be fine.
No problem.
Be fine. I think Mum would have described the weekend in Deauville as yielding. So I think it would be fine.
Ground. So now you know that that's actually not that big a deal
anymore.
We
get yielding ground at Leperstown at Christmas time. We're going to get good ground.
We probably will.
Leperstown in 2 weeks.
And in fairness, at the launch, she was, you know, it's probably not an absolutely vintage Irish Champions weekend in terms of one we've had. And I was just saying to the lads, it's kind of reliant on her rocking up there, because everyone just wants to see her. She has suddenly just become a superstar. And I'm talking like See the Stars, Frankel, even nearly that, because she's a filly. She's trained by a woman, and she's, you know, just physically an absolute freak. And she rocks up against the males and just laughs at them. And she's getting weight off them, which is, they're probably like, you know, what chance have we at level weights? Not to mind, you know, having to give this monster weight as well. So
it's happened so quickly. Like, that's the thing. It's like a one summer like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, it really has. And
it was Royal Ascot, really. Like, that performance was just out of this world. And she was sent, again, she was like, at Royal Ascot, I think she was like 11-4 or something like that. 11-4 favourite, which, again, in hindsight, was an incredible price. Mm-hmm. And she won by 6 lengths. And broke track record, probably couldn't be pulled up. Mm. And you were like, we're dealing with something a bit different here. Mm. And when you think, like, Ridgewood Pearl, I think she was the highest rated in the interim, this is going back 23 years.
Yeah.
So you're looking at sort of like Trev, maybe these fillies that'll go into four that, like, were just really, really out of this world. But she's going to be better than her, I think.
Yeah. Okay. If anybody has any questions, by the way, watching on Facebook, you can get them into us here, or you can always just tweet us at Off the Ball as well. A shout out to Davin Finnerty and Keith Roach getting their racing fix, watching us on Facebook Live. And of course, Friday Night Racing is brought to you in association with goracing.ie. Can you talk to us a little bit about how the yard changes from being National Hunt to flat? Like, is this just an outside, everybody doesn't really understand that a horse is a horse, and if you look after the horse well and train them up to do the thing they're being asked to do, it's kind of the same process?
It is. What would be different is their kind of pre-season. Like, say we have the jumpers in now at the moment, and they're doing a lot of slow, steady, longer work. But if the flat horses come in, they do their pre-season, they do shorter distance, but still slow. I have to say, we're very, very lucky. Johnny, you've been down to our place. We have three amazing gallops. And they kind of mix and match, and they use a top gallop for kind of their pre-season kind of work, and then they'll go on to the steep hill gallop to get a bit more, it's kind of over 4 furlongs up a steep hill, and that kind of gets them more lung fish and everything, kind of get all their aerobically kind of working, and then they'll start doing their faster bits on what we call the new gallop.
Okay, so that's the flat horses.
No, the jumpers and the flat will all use the same gallops. Like at the moment they're using the round gallop for their kind of long, steady, and then their steadier bits to get their main fat off them.
Yeah.
And then they'll go to the hill gallop to use, kind of get them fitter, more wind fish. And then when they start stepping it up, they'll go down onto the new gallop, as we call it.
Okay, so both types of horse do exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly the same, but they just be doing them at different speeds. And Mum just treats every horse, like if you come down to our place, you have 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 10-year-old jumpers, everything going out at the same time. We don't have set lots that certain horses go out different times.
Is there, when you're talking about getting the fat off them and just kind of getting them fit like that, is that an eye test or is there like a, what's the science behind that?
Well, getting the fat off them now, it's a more of eye test, and we do weigh them once a week, and the one that's got to get a serious fat off is Super Sunday at the moment. He definitely needs to go to Weight Watchers. But
Dried
yeah,
summer.
Oh, did he? What? He's come back in very, very heavy. He's making sizing John look skinny at the moment. But no, he's getting there, and it is. It's just get the long, slow bits of work and getting the fat off them, and just then you gradually step it up, step it up, step it up. And then some horses, when you step it up, they mightn't be able to take the next step, so you just leave them at that bracket for a while and then keep them going forward. And
when you move them on to the new gallop, is that like stopwatch or again?
No, it's just, it'll just be their faster bits. So it's actually the same incline as the hill gallop, but it's over a longer gradual climb. So they're climbing the same distance, but it's more gradual and you can go quicker on it.
Okay. A lot of it seems like it's instinct.
Which
is mad.
Yeah, Mum trains a lot on her eye, like completely on her eye, and she'll do things that I'm like, what is she doing? And the horse turns up and wins. And
that's what that mystical nature of it, I absolutely love. Like, and Willie Mullins is kind of the same. It's just Patrick will just say, no idea why you did that, but like, it's just intuition. You can't teach it.
Yeah, completely.
I think that's why they're, you know, you've great trainers out there.
But you can absorb it, like, so Willie got it from his dad, or a bit of it.
And, oh, absolutely.
And Joseph O'Brien seems to be getting it from his dad. Are you getting it from your ma?
Well, hopefully. Hopefully. And I was very lucky. I spent 3 years staying in Ballydoyle, and I have to say I learned an awful lot down there. I was lucky enough there was Camelot was the end of his career, and then Australia was there, and some great fillies like Waz and stuff like that. So it was great to be down there.
So apart from like looking at the quality of the horses, what else are you learning from Ballydoyle that you're kind of thinking, here, Mum, they do this?
Learned a lot, like just keep things simple. And it's the little things that count. Attention to detail is massive. Just keep everything simple. And you know yourself with Aidan, he keeps a lot of things very, very simple. And it's the attention to detail and the little things that you notice or spot. And they're the things that kind of make the difference.
I think Gordon Elliott as well, like just the team you have to be able to trust your lieutenants.
Yeah.
You know, so your work rider is feeding you information that you won't necessarily be able to see with the other 150 horses. You have to trust your work riders. And I think that's definitely one reason, and Gordon will always say that. That's the reason why, one of the reasons why he's doing so well is that he's an incredible team of work riders, like that are exceptionally good riders, not to mind judges of the horse that's under them.
Timmy Sheehan, skills.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay, that should not be.
Whoa. What are we listening to?
That was actually a video I was sent of a 6-year-old kid practicing his football in an indoor arena, and he had two targets to hit at. Sent to me by a friend today, it was her kid, I remain nameless. And he hit these two unbelievable targets.
Except that we just heard his name.
Off his, if he did, I apologise to mother and father, but I was just thinking, I got to have a bet in this guy playing for, winning an All-Ireland or playing for Ireland. Because he's
for one of the four counties that he might be in.
Can name it, but I've no idea how that went off in my pocket.
All right. Yeah.
But I was gobsmacked by him.
Well, that could have been a career-ending disaster for all of us.
It could have. But, you know, give me time and I will get there with the career-ending disaster.
Okay, is the phone on silent now, just in case any of your mates
are watching? It's on silent. I don't know what happened there. It's a WhatsApp video. I don't know what happened.
Okay, right, yeah. So, let's go back to reality for a second. Talk to us a bit about how you actually ended up riding, because I'm not sure that was always part of your career plan, was it?
No, it definitely wasn't. I was steeped in 3-day eventing, and while Moscow, I was interested in the racing, but not really at all. I had like 3 or 4 event horses, and Moscow Flyer kind of had come into retired. And I remember I was reading the Irish Field one day, and it suddenly said Moscow Flyer is coming out of retirement at Punchdown, and Jesse Harrington's daughter Kate is going to ride. And I was like,
news to me.
What? Like, it was always a joke when he was running, but like, I didn't think it would actually happen. And looking back on it, how did they ever let me up on him? Like, I was 17 years of age, never ridden in a
few pounds in hand.
Well, yeah.
Moscow Flyer running a charity race. Like.
I know.
What age is he?
He was 13. Yeah,
so he was 13. Like, he wasn't mad old.
No, he wasn't
racing
mad old.
He was 12?
Yeah. Mm. And I was only 17. And like, I think my biggest, I was most scared of that day was getting to the start, because I always remember, if you remember when Moscow used to race, he used to tank Barry to the start. And he lobbed down like a pony with me, thank God.
Everyone had to back him as well. It was like, you know, everyone had to wait. He was odds on, but everyone had to back him. I don't think very few horses made the impression on people that he did, you know, just he had that character, that aura about him.
Yeah, I think even Mum said last week that she was like, training Alfred's a little bit easier. She doesn't have a few obstacles in front of her.
Moscow used to fall every fourth one.
Is
this your mum's secret plan to get you involved? Like,
I don't know.
It's like the Godfather giving Michael a few jobs here and there, and you're like, no, I'm not. And that's like, oh, this is really amazing. Look, I'm a Moscow Flyer.
Yeah.
Jessie would love that analogy as well,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, she would. But for that charity race, actually, you had to get your license out to ride in it. So I obviously got my license, and then I did it, won the race, and was like, grand. Box ticked.
Hang on. It wasn't just grand. It must be sensational.
It was amazing.
Because there's a bit of pressure. It's like a legendary all-time horse, and your first ride, and the whole stadium has backed you, and it's like no pressure.
I got applauded to the start. She got a standing ovation past the stands.
Yeah, but it's
Moscow got applauded. Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't.
Who's on top?
I definitely didn't.
Molly got applauded coming in.
Yeah. No, he got applauded on the way to the start, and I was like, oh God, this is obviously what happens the whole time. I got my license, and I think I was at an event the next weekend, and Mum suddenly turned around to me and was like, oh, do you want to ride this horse in the bumper next week? I was like, no way, what are you on about? No, I'm grand, I'm fine, like, I've done that, no. And then I think it was my dad that was saying to me, he was like, oh, he owned a horse that Wish, actually Peter Queeley, he's running Killarney next week. Okay, go on, sure, ride it. So I rode it and finished 4th, and then I rode him again the next week in Ballinrobe, and we, I think, had the red hot favourite in the race, and I was riding the outsider and going out on the last lap. And so when you did the inner loop and did two laps, I couldn't hold him anymore, just couldn't hold him, so I just let him go, and he was still in front of the line. So I think the horse that was red hot favourite, I think we actually lost him training, because I think the owner thought that we had pulled a bit of a coup. We had pulled a coup. Because I think Mark Fahey was riding the other horse, because I was at the start and I was like, doo, 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 out back. He's like, Kate, come on, get up here. Like, just being nice, because I didn't really know what I was doing. And so that's how it all started.
And was it addictive? Like,
So addictive. And I think my next ride then was actually in the GPT in Galway. And remember, rocked in, and like, I'd had two normal rides and one in a charity race, and this is my 4th ride. Going out to ride.
Two wins and a fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, not bad.
Going in to ride in the GPT, and Katie and Nina turned to me and was like, Kate, this is the roughest race you will ever, ever ride in. And I was like, okay, grand. So this is when it was a tape start, and anyway, I jumped off on the inside. It's like 5th or 6th round the inner the whole way, ended up finishing 4th. And subsequently, I was actually riding.
Were you riding there?
Sandy Mount Earl, Sandy Mount Duke's full brother. Mm. So it was 4th in the GPT, and sure, the rest, I think my next ride was a winner as well.
It's not a bad start.
No, it wasn't. So it was addictive. It was very much addictive.
You were around the Nero greats at that time, Katie and Nina.
Nina, John Thomas, Kevin Power, Andrew Duff, they were all there. They were all Mark Fahey, and they were all there.
Mm.
It was great. It was a great time. It was great crack riding. then. It was brilliant.
See, at that stage, you're in college as well, and kind of.
I was still in school then.
Okay, right.
I was going into sixth year.
Right. That's not a bad.
Long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago. And then I didn't really ride much during sixth year. I didn't really ride much, and then college, I didn't really ride that much. And then it was kind of when after I finished college, then I really did.
And the decision to be part of the family business, was that inevitable or did you think about it?
I did study social science in college, politics and social policy or something completely different. And I got that and then I went back and I worked at home for 6 months and didn't really go very well. I was still kind of in college party mode, not really in. So mum said, right, you have to go somewhere. So I was went down to Ballydoyle and I was down there for 3 years. Enjoyed it immensely.
What were you doing there? Is it like riding out?
Yeah, went there full time initially, and then for 2 years I was full time. And then the last year I was there, my dad actually got a bit sick, so I only worked mornings, and I came up home then every afternoon. And then after he passed away, I finished off the season in Ballydoyle and then I came home.
Okay. So. And at that stage you were like, this is what I do now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is what I do. I think it was my sixth week into Ballydoyle. It was my second weekend I had off, because you worked one weekend on, one weekend off. So my first weekend off when I was in Ballydoyle, up to see the girls in Dublin. Yeah, no, go see everyone. Then the second weekend I had off. I was like, no, I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
So tired. I think I was at home with mum, and mum goes, God, Aidan O'Brien's not just a good trainer of racehorses, he's also a good trainer of unruly daughters.
You like that?
Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely make a fortune helping people find their way in life. Right? Like, going to get you up at 5 o'clock every morning.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, it was 5 o'clock when I was commuting up and down.
Yeah, you were commuting, yeah?
I was, yeah. The last year I was commuting up and down. So hit a lot of road mileage.
If you see people at the races, they're just in great shape. They live healthy lives, outdoor lives. They're up early. They're working like their muscles and all that. And you're like, you often look at them in envy, and you're like, you know, you're living a lot healthier of a life than us kind of slobs that go around in offices.
Yeah, you, Johnny.
Me and people of my ilk, you know.
You're projecting a little bit on everybody who's watching here as well.
Probably.
Yeah, and then if anybody wants to give us any comments, you can get in touch with us at Off The Ball on Twitter. Like, it must be enjoyable when things are going as well for you guys as they are at the moment. Like, the whole industry came through a really tough period with the recession. A load of small trainers couldn't keep going, but when you tough it out and you come through the other side of that, there's a real sense of fulfillment.
And that is actually probably when the recession hit, that's when Mum was fortunate enough, she got a couple of really good horses from America, and that's probably, like, Pathwork, Laughing Lashes, that's probably what moved her into more of the flat, because we lost a lot of our smaller syndicates, smaller owners, and we had, my brother-in-law actually bought a few horses with a couple of his friends in America and brought them back here to race. So that's kind of how it really did start, kind of.
What are your numbers-wise now versus one versus the other?
50-50, I think.
Is it 50?
I don't know.
It's probably edging towards flat.
It's slightly at the moment.
Flat trainer, all the jumpers, who trains the odd jumper, like.
No, all the jumpers aren't back in yet. There's a good queue of them ready to come in.
I find, like, at your mother at her age, this change so seamless. Like, it's just very hard to fathom how easily she did it, like, you know.
I will say, like, we made a big investment 2 years ago into the place, and the new gallop that we put in, it's phenomenal. And like, after Sizing John won the Gold Cup, I think if we just had our other two gallops, I don't think we'd have ever kept him right. And
the hill,
He doesn't go on the hill.
Right, okay.
He goes on the new gallop and the top gallop.
I'm kind of obsessed with hills and sport. Ronnie Delaney said that as a kid, it was running up, there's a street, I think it's Buckingham Street, running up that hill made him really fast. Sonia Sullivan credits running up the hills of Cove with making her world class as a runner. And I remember Jim Bulger saying that he turned the corner one time in Carlow looking for a place to have his stud, and he saw this hill, and I was like, you guys have a hill too.
Mm.
I think Joe Crowley was a big instigator back in the day, Vincent O'Brien as well. And that hill that is in Pilltown that now his grandson Joseph trains from, it has to be seen to be believed. And it obviously gets you fit, and I guess nearly everyone just does it now. There's all, there must be an incline nearly everywhere that you work, like, because it's just it's an easier way of getting horses fit.
Big time it is. And you don't have to be as hard on them up a hill because they're all doing the work themselves.
Like if you're on a treadmill and you put on the incline, it just gets a lot harder.
Yeah, that's from memory.
And especially if you have a horse with a, say, not a great front leg or they've had a bit of problems in front, it just takes all the pressure off their front legs with them going up the hill.
So we're like a good bit out from the meat and drink of the national hunt season, but their national hunters are all in pre-season training at the moment.
They're all in pre-season training. They're all there, ready to go. And it's really, like, this time of year, as you know, Johnny, it's very exciting with the season ahead. And, like, it's great to have Sizing John back on the road, touch wood. And he's going to go for the JN Wine up and down Royal, all being well.
Okay, great. We do have to try and win some money. Our record at the moment, courtesy of our friends at thetote.com, our charity bet. We've raised €300 so far in aid of the Injured Jockeys Fund. We did that a few weeks ago. I'm not telling you how long.
Some difficult assignments since.
Maybe 5 weeks ago. Yeah. So how are we doing this week, Johnny? We're going to keep it simple this week with the Tote's most popular bet types, which is win in each way. You've gone for two in Tramore, one on Saturday, one on Sunday.
I have. I did win a few bob for them back in Cheltenham Preview last year.
So last year.
I tipped a winner then, so I have a little bit of credit with the Injured Jockeys, but it's great charity, to be fair.
Eating bread is soon forgotten, Johnny.
It is. Now let me find these tips that I put so much stock into. But no, these are
Byron Beauty is your first one.
Byron Beauty. I'll just find the times. Yeah, Byron Beauty.
20 past 6 at Tramore.
20 past 6. That's tomorrow now. So I went for a bit of value there because she's running against Sir Willie Mullins Hotpot and Harry Rogers. Harry Rogers has an ability to train horses just to keep sweet. He trains horses when they're 13, 14. I think I've even seen him train 15-year-olds. It's mostly the equivalent of Kevin Prendergast, who trained a horse at Leopardstown last night, first time out, bolted up, beat an Aidan O'Brien trained horse, and he goes, this'll give me something to get up for in the winter. Kevin is 86, and he's like...
That was the most impressive two-year-old winner I think I've seen all year.
And, you're just like... This would be beyond a fairy tale if Kevin at that age could have a proper classic contender, because he trained his second Guineas winner at 80, I think, Autad, maybe 40 odd years after he trained the first. And he's just such a man. Give up cigarettes at 50.
Never too late.
So I'm going on a bit of a tangent then, but that would be a hell of a story. And so Harry Rogers keeps these horses sweet, and she's now, I think she's 10, but her runs in Galway are very encouraging. I think she's a very good each-way chance at a price.
Okay, so Byron Beauty tomorrow night, 20 past 6 at Tramore, and then on Sunday, to win, we have Get a Reason in the 3:15.
Yeah, this is going to be straightforward, go out in front, never headed. And we could have a little each-way in France as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think each-way... I'm So Fancy should run into a place.
In Deauville on Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
She's running in the 3:20, the Prix Jean Romanet.
Okay. What kind of price do you expect her to go?
She's 6:20 to 1.
Oh, yeah, okay. We like those.
Mm. Yeah, a little each way.
So the big races this week are at Newbury, and we just want to talk a bit about these. The 2:25 on Saturday, the Irish Thoroughbred Marketing, Jeffrey Freer Stakes. This is... just looking at this here. So yeah, 2:25 at Newbury, and Hamada is the form horse.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to know with this race. Hamada, 3 wins from 3, and bolt up last time, could have gone for a handicap. The ground will be a bit of an issue here. I'm still going to go with Dal Harald, the Willie Haggis trained horse. I think Ryan Moore might be able to make the running on this, and basically it's going to be very tactical. I think we've 7 runners, 8 runners, and I think if Ryan can get on the lead here, I think this horse could be hard to pass. It's a tricky, tricky race, tricky renewal of the race. But Dal Harald would be my selection.
When you're picking races to send horses to, does that mean you need to know the form of all the other horses in the race? Like, are you doing it because that...
No, because we won't know what's going to be entered in that race then. We're just kind of looking to see which criteria of each race will best suit that horse.
Okay. And what are the various criteria that you're looking at? I mean, obviously distance and...
So, say for I'm So Fancy in Deauville at the weekend, like, we're going there because we're trying to get away from Aidan O'Brien's, but Rhododendron is going. But it's a 4-year-old and upwards fillies group one. So there's very few of those 4-year, because 4-year-old and upwards in Ireland.
Tend not to get.
Because there's 3-year-olds and then the 3-year-olds have the 3-year-old allowance.
You have a filly for her next year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd say she'll be back in the Prix-Jacques Lemarois. I think I've got it right now.
Nicely done, Kate.
And but that's over 10 furlongs. So
I think it would. I think she could be even more excited. She'll be running in the Champions Stakes, not the Matron. Yeah. I think it could be amazing. I think 10 furlongs wouldn't be a bother for her.
Next year.
Yeah. Do you reckon it might happen next year?
I think it could.
Rock up in the Champions Stakes?
Could easily.
You heard it here now?
Next year. Could easily. But no, she's definitely going to stay at a mile this year.
Harrington backs Champions Stakes bid for Alpha. You read the story. It's like Kate Harrington said maybe next year.
2019.
And it's not Jessica Harrington. It's Kate Harrington.
Johnny's a G is a clickbait, it turns out.
There we are.
But it's got, I think it had a condition that they haven't won a Group 1 or 2 since a certain date. So they're not kind of, there's certain conditions of it that fitted perfectly for I'm So Fancy.
Okay, and when you are in the Curragh with Alpha Centauri and she goes off like that and you and your mum are like having that moment, at that point do you know what distance this horse will run at into the future? Like how do you slowly piece that piece of information together?
She goes and wins, she's showing plenty of speed. So what mum's saying is why change her distance this year? She's proven at this distance, why change it? But she would.
But when you're before you know what she can run at, how do you decide?
Oh, just how much pace and speed she's showing at home on
right.
her homework.
Okay,
you'd be pedigree as well. Like
yeah,
I mean, you'd
I think
have
did
some
she
idea.
Win the first day over 5?
I think it was 6.
6. Yeah, she won the first day over 6, and then won.
So she's really good at short distances, and then you lengthen it out slowly.
She's a stranger though. She's by Master Craftsman, whose average progeny winning distance will be something around 10 furlongs. So she's a little bit of an anomaly in that regard, and you're always wondering.
In that she can, she's currently winning.
She's winning at like she could probably win a proper race at 6, even as a 3-year-old.
Right.
Yeah. So she's so much speed, and then you're like, well, if she actually befitted her pedigree, she should be able to get a mile and a half, really. So you're like, if she could go to mile and 2. How good could she be? And that was like Frankel stepping up in Trip. You were like, wow. And he was such a hard puller, but she's straightforward.
She's so straightforward. Like you could switch her off wherever you wanted to. So that would indicate there would be no reason you wouldn't step up in Trip. But why
don't
change?
Want her to be beaten,
why do? No. Well, yeah, well, yeah. Why change something that's not broken?
Yeah. I are these decisions that everybody wrestles with massively, or is it just like fairly obvious to you guys?
It will be a decision that we might have to take. Hopefully she stays in training for next year.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll weigh it up next spring.
Okay. The other race that we wanted to look at was also, it's race 4 at Newbury, the Hungerford Stakes, going to post at 3:35. What was the crack with this one?
The crack with this one is Gustav Klimt attempting to, maybe restore his reputation. He hasn't won as a 3-year-old, but I think he was probably a bit overhyped as a 2-year-old because he never actually won a Group 1 anyway. He never won a proper race. Then he got injured. He was probably favoured in the Guineas. This year he ran okay behind Saxon Warrior. He ran quite well, I thought, as well last time. Will Ryan Moore make the running here as well? I was talking to David Jennings earlier on the Racing Post and he's like, there's no pace in the race, but I think Labrise is more solid, particularly with the little bit of ease in the ground. It looks a good opportunity. Very unusual for Aidan to go for a Group 2 with this horse at this stage in England. You know, he's running in 5 Group 1s in a row.
So what's that about then? Try to restore a bit of confidence? Or
it's, you know, the funny thing is he's having a bad year with his British runners. He's operating at a 9% strike rate. And I think that's down to one thing in the main. Just doesn't have a great crop this year. And he's had a little bit of a bug in the yard. He said it's affected like pretty much all kind of aspects of the yard. And it might be one of those seasons where he kind of just pulls the plug a little bit on some of the horses early. He's already alluding to that. Sergei Prokofiev ran very disappointing at the Curragh as well. But I think this is just, when you're talking, Kate's on about how this race suits I'm So Fancy, I think this race suits him in terms of actually winning a race as a 3-year-old, because he winning the Group 1 is going to be tough, I think. But he's taken on some decent, proper Group 2 horses in the likes of Labrise Breeze.
Yeah. Okay. Are you obsessed with all these races? Are you watching that and all that kind of stuff too? Or are you more into your own horses? It's like
into our own horses. Oh no, I do. I do watch a good bit of the other. Like, I would look at that race now tomorrow morning. I'll see what the big races are, but I Haven't had a look at it yet.
Yeah, no, that's, well, because it's interesting. Sometimes, like, some of the jockeys we talk to are like, I'm not watching anything else other than my own stuff, and I'm going to get up and do the horse that I'm booked to ride on, and that's it. Because
you could, no, like, definitely would look at all the other races, and like every evening I'd go through all the results and all that from the day. But
from a work perspective, are you looking for stuff, like, or is it just
like
a crack?
Looking for horses, looking for impressive horses at the moment. Definitely looking through all the English forms, see if there's any three-year-old hurdlers we might want to buy to go three-year-old hurdling next for next season. Looking at like all that at the moment. So.
Yeah. All right. Okay, good stuff.
Keep the eyes open.
She's also trying to get back from injury as well.
What's the story?
Getting back slowly but surely. I dislocated my shoulder, well, it kind of half popped out in May time, and got it back right after that. And then a horse fell over at me on the gallop again, and I twinged a nerve somewhere in my right arm.
She shook my hand beforehand, and it was very ladylike in the sense that she's actually unable to clench with the nerve.
Now, Johnny.
The moment. And I was like,
now, Johnny, hang on a second.
It was very
power. She's not, no
you
power.
Can shake her hand. It's like she just no completely relaxed.
No power whatsoever.
And so she's got a nerve issue there.
So I've been
suffering from her nerves, as it were.
So hopefully I'm back riding out now, but I've been doing a lot of rehab the last 6 weeks in Santry, so yeah.
Will you be a jockey forever? Like, is that your plan?
No, I'll be a jockey for another few years or so, but definitely the training side of things is more at the forefront. Like, I've got a few pointers that I was training last season, and I sold one on to David Pipe that will hopefully go and do big things for next year. And I've got a couple for the autumn pointing campaign, and then some more for next spring.
So it's just a natural kind of progression from one to the other.
Hopefully it'll be.
Have you trained under your name?
I've had a restricted license, and I've trained one winner in the point.
I didn't know that, happy days.
Happy days, sold him at Cheltenham Sales. So
Was the pipe horse?
Yeah, sold him. I could have sold him to stay in the yard, but I kind of wanted to be seen to be getting out there and selling under my own banner, and not mummy's looking after Kate and stand on my own 2 feet. Trying to, anyway.
Yeah. Well,
might all go tits up, but we'll give it a go for a year or so, anyway.
Yeah, you got to try. Kate, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And best of luck this weekend as well. Johnny, best of luck on two fronts this weekend.
How are you calling it?
I think Limerick are going to win. I think Limerick are the value proposition at 13-8 in this. I think it's a 50-50 game.
I tend to agree. But big, big performance coming from our boys.
Yeah, you can see exactly. There's a really easy case to make for the reigning All-Ireland champions with one of the greatest hurdles of all time and an amazing spine to their team showing up in All-Ireland final, because they've done it just as recently as last year. So,
I did think during the show there my tickets pitch wasn't great.
No.
I don't think anyone's going to give me a ticket on the back of that.
I'll give you 10 seconds. Go for it.
It's a special day for the family.
He's already got two.
I already have
Mark
two.
Mark Enright needs two.
My sister is due a baby today. It might carry over to another couple of days, and this uncertainty is really creating all this mayhem. We don't need All-Ireland final weekend, so I do want more tickets. Anywhere at all, in the ward name would do nicely, up Galway.
On that note, thanks very much for joining us for Friday Night Racing today. We'll be back next week at 3 o'clock live on all our social channels, or of course from 8 o'clock on the radio every Friday night with Friday Night Racing. Good luck.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball,
and they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.